Good morning, folks. It's good to see you here in worship, and I can say with hand on heart, on this occasion, it wasn't the minister that was late. Let's hear some intimations. Elaine.
Good morning, and welcome to our service this morning, especially if you're a newcomer or visitor. Visitors may wish to sign our visitor's book. Walking group. The next church walk takes place this afternoon in the Vane Farm area with the usual coffee stop. Meet at Cairnhill Church car park at 2 p.m. Parish newsletter. We have just released our June parish newsletter. If you live in the village of Cairnhill or you stay in Crossford and are on our contact list, your copy will be delivered to your home. If neither applies, please take a copy from the vestibule or download it from the church website. As the primary purpose of the newsletter is outreach to the parish, we are not incurring posting costs on this occasion. No Zoom presentations in July. Apologies, but we will not be able to provide Zoom services during any of the Sundays in July. Audio recordings will be available via the website. Kirk Session. Kirk Session will meet on Tuesday, the 27th of June at 7 p.m. West Fife Villages Church's Strawberry Tea. All are welcome to a strawberry tea at Oakley Church on Saturday, the 1st of July, between 10 and 12 noon. Scones with strawberries and cream, pancakes, etc. Tea, coffee and chat. There's a £4 entry fee. Cycling Club. The Cycling Club C4 will have its next outing on Saturday the 1st of July to Torwood. More information from Derek on 882190. Intimations. A summer intimation sheet will be available on the 2nd of July with the weekly version resuming on the 20th of August. Finally, here is a quick look at the order of service.
I do have one further intimation, and that is to say that the service today will finish at a normal time, but I've got another service in Cairnhill, and if you would like to be at that service, which is so that George and Margaret can renew their vows, it'll be a short ceremony at 1 o'clock, and if you'd like to join us, George and Margaret would be really pleased to see you, but you're absolutely free to do what you wish to do, but wouldn't want you to feel excluded. And I think any service in church is officially public, so we're keeping to church law as well. There we go. We are here to worship Almighty God. So let's begin our worship by singing the first of our hymns. This is a hymn that we've not sung very often, so it might sound a little unfamiliar, but the words do fit the tune very well. So just, if you're patient with it, the hymn will flow through. God is love, let heaven adore him. bless our offering. Almighty God, receive from our hands these gifts of money, and with our money we offer two of our time and talent to your glory and to your service, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Alistair is leading us in our prayers this morning.
So let us now draw near to God in prayer. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we gather as your people in this place, a church family, a fellowship of believers. We come together to praise you, to proclaim that you alone are God. You, our God, are eternal and all-powerful. You are God of all creation. You sustain us, providing for all our needs. We appreciate the lovely summer weather, but we know that we need the rain too, conscious that many people in the world suffer the effects of extreme drought. You feed us with food in abundance, but we are conscious too of the many who starve. You uphold us when we stumble, when we are hit with doubt or are overwhelmed with anguish. When we are in distress, we can call to you, knowing that you will answer. When we risk falling into sin, your still, small voice calls us back to you. You are the God who heals our infirmities, though that may come in different ways. You have the power to set the prisoners free, that might be literally or from whatever enslaves. We praise you that Jesus is the light that came to shine on those living in darkness, with the promise of eternal life in him. You so loved the world that you gave your one and only Son. How can we ever praise you enough? Almighty and most merciful Father, we also ask for forgiveness. We have erred and strayed from your ways like lost sheep. We have followed too much the devices and desires of our own hearts. We have offended against your holy laws. We have left undone the things we ought to have done, and we have done those things which we ought not to have done. O Lord, have mercy upon us. We are truly sorry for our sins. Please forgive us and accept us as your children and renew us. We know that we don't deserve your forgiveness and recognize it is pure grace. Thank you for Jesus' blood shed on the cross for us, paying the price for our wrongdoings, that we may be forgiven. Lord of heaven and earth, bless the worship of your church in this place, that we may hear the living word through the power of the Holy Spirit. And hear us now as we join together in saying these words of prayer. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial, and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen.
Hymn number 577, Christ Be Beside Me.
Christ, be beside me. Christ, be before me.
One of my favourite places on a warm summer's day is next to a large fuchsia bush in my back garden. In full bloom, there must be hundreds, if not thousands, of flowers. As a result, it is beautiful to look at, but it is also wonderful to hear. And what I'm hearing is the multitude of bumblebees that love these fuchsia flowers. The bees are fascinating to watch, but I find that that constant hum of the bees is quite a soothing sound. You can tell I'm not frightened by bumblebees at all. I actually love their presence. I love watching them. I find them a very non-aggressive insect. In fact, my daughter was sitting in the garden on a warm day with bare shoulders, and she said, "Dad, will you please move the bumblebee?" Because one had landed and was just having a wee rest. She said, "It tickles." And I shooed it away. Back in January of 2010, we had some of the lowest temperatures recorded in this part of Scotland. I noted several days where the temperature was below minus 10. As spring came along, it was clear that the fuchsia was dead. There were no buds, no sign of life, and with some regret, I cleared away all the dead wood. I chopped it right back to the roots and expected that the grass surrounding that area would just gradually spread over and all sign of the bush would disappear. I was not hugely surprised. There were bound to be consequences, casualties from that really cold spell. It was several weeks of very low temperatures. The big surprise was finding that some shoots were springing out of the earth. What I thought was dead still had life at its root. The plant I thought was gone is now twice the size it was pre-2010. It is enormous. I suppose I should know better. It's not the first time, nor will it be the last time, that the world of nature has surprised me. I'm sure you will have similar stories where you thought something was gone and yet it springs to life. I'm not sure if this is a positive note or a negative note, but that same year, somebody wrote in the newspaper, and wrote with some authority, that one of the upsides of the extreme frost was that it would reduce the Scottish midge population. The summer of 2010, it was reported that the Scottish midge across the Western Highlands was more rampant than it had been in previous years. And that expert pointed out that there is evidence that the midge was around in the time of the dinosaurs and it survived that extinction. So why was it going to be bothered by a wee bit of cold? We can draw all sorts of lessons in life from the world of nature. It should be no surprise that Jesus used the natural world as illustrations for his many parables. At the June Presbytery meeting, we were reminded of Jesus' words about the vine and the branches, that the branches draw life from the vine. And of course, Jesus was talking about those who follow him, drawing life from him. We are joined in to Jesus. Liam Fraser was speaking about mission in contemporary Scotland. In terms of church and living as Christian people, our faith and life has to be rooted in Christ. We call the Holy Spirit the breath of life. In everything, we begin with God, we are God's people. We're going to read now from the book of Psalms about life in God and about God being all in all. And we're going to read a short passage from the book of Acts about the early church in the days after Pentecost. Elaine is going to read for us.
The first reading is taken from Psalm chapter 86, and we read from verse 1 to 10. You alone are God. Hear me, Lord, and answer me, for I am poor and needy. Guard my life, for I am faithful to you. Save your servant who trusts in you. You are my God. Have mercy on me, Lord, for I call to you all day long. Bring joy to your servant, Lord, for I put my trust in you. You, Lord, are forgiving and good, abounding in love to all who call to you. Hear my prayer, Lord. Listen to my cry for mercy. When I am in distress, I call to you because you answer me. Among the gods, there is none like you, Lord. No deeds can compare with yours. All the nations you have made will come and worship before you, Lord. They will bring glory to your name. For you are great and do marvelous deeds. You alone are God. Our second reading is taken from Acts chapter 2, reading from verse 42 to 47. The fellowship of believers. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favour of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. Amen, and may God add his blessing to the reading of his word.
Hymn 527, Lord, make us servants of your peace.
Thank you.
My family assure me that I am a very difficult person to buy presents for. This is another instance of me being like my father. My dad was an absolute pain to buy presents for, because when you said to him, "What would you like?" "It doesn't matter. Just give me a card." And of course you say, "Well, we can't do that." And I've turned into the same, and I often warn children that your future is to turn into your parents. And if you want to know your long-term future, look at your grandparents. My children, I suspect, are brighter than I am, because they've got it into their heads that they look for odd things to buy me. Now, a few weeks ago, I brought in my Lego Porsche, which took me a whole afternoon to build. Where that idea came from, I don't know, but it was a bit of fun. One very odd gift I received recently was a few tiny seeds, a compost pellet, and some instructions. And I'm looking forward to this plant because I'd never heard of it before. I am going to be growing cucamelons. Anybody here grown a cucamelon? Right, well, according to the packet, they taste like cucumber and look like miniature watermelons. So, I might bring one to show you. But I did think I wasn't going to be able to do anything, because I followed the instructions, which is quite unusual for me. I have a tendency to read instructions when I'm stuck. I'm told it's a male thing. I followed the instructions. I read what was said. I gave extra time, and there was nothing. So I reported back to Eleanor that her gift had not germinated, and she said, "What a shame, Dad. Never mind, you tried." A week or two later, having given up on the project, lo and behold, there were some green shoots. So they are growing. Hopefully sometime I'll be able to show you the results. My problem is to do with impatience. When I was a boy, I had a little bit of garden. Now, I will admit that most of my garden was just mud, because I had diggers, and it was more important to have mud for your diggers than to grow things. But I did try and grow some plants, and I can remember my mum saying, "No, don't dig up the seeds to see if they're growing. Just leave them." I have a level of impatience. Maybe I've not grown any wiser with age. My mistake with the cucamelon seeds was expecting them to obey instructions rather than giving nature time. Now, that's a minor fault. It's a far greater error when I expect God to follow my timetable, or I expect God to do exactly what is written in the Bible, as though the Bible could contain Almighty God. We say, and I say, God is infinite and eternal. So although the Bible contains the Word of God, the Bible cannot contain God. God is bigger. As I mentioned earlier, we were looking at the subject of mission at Presbytery a couple of weeks ago. And some of the things that the speakers in the morning session had to say have been nagging away at me. I'd heard these things before, I knew them, but sometimes I need to be reminded of things. In the last few years, we have consistently been told about the need for mission to be central to the life of the church. Actually, for the 50 plus years I've been part of the church, this has been said in many and various ways. As a young man, in congregations that were fairly well attended, there was a kind of general assumption that mission or evangelism was something for a small minority of folk for whom that was their thing. Most seemed to live as though all that was required of the Christian life was to live quietly. Even in the face of constant decline, there was very little change. We are at a place in the life of the church where the crisis has hit. There's a crisis of faith in our country, in our society. And we can see the results of that decline. Put very simply, the church in Scotland has more buildings than it can afford, too few people in worship, and not enough ministers to cover the church in its present forms. The Church of Scotland, our denomination, is facing perhaps the greatest change and challenge of all the denominations because of our size. Without mission as a priority, many congregations will cease to exist in the next 10 years. There is a big mistake that we can make, and that is to think that our mission as church is about saving the church. One of the big reminders at Presbytery was that the mission we are to participate in is God's mission. It is God who seeks our salvation. It is God who wants human beings to have life that is full to completeness. That was how Jesus described the offer of life, the life that he had to offer. And so, in that talk, we were told that mission is necessary. It's necessary because we are God's people. And God wants his people to share the joy that they have. Mission is necessary for the well-being of our society. The further that Christianity has been pushed to the margins, the more our society has suffered. The materialist gods of our culture take everything and give nothing. They are no better than the gods mentioned in that psalm written some 3,000 years ago. In a world of many gods, those gods were mere idols made of rock or metal or wood or whatever. But they could do nothing. They were lifeless. In our materialist society, the gods of material wealth give nothing and take everything. Mission is necessary because we share God's love, and we should share the desire for the salvation of humanity. The second thing we were told is that mission is possible. But that possibility is where we are doing what God wants of us. What is of God has God's Spirit within it. If we decide what we are to do, if we decide what it is that the church needs, that society needs, and we go into it wholeheartedly, but we are not listening to God, nothing will happen because God will not be within it. In that short reading from the book of Acts, we heard about the church at the beginning, and there was a lot about the sharing of fellowship at all sorts of level, the sharing of everything. But what was most striking was the joy of belonging to the fellowship of God's people. It was worth more than anything else. But the really striking phrase was the very last verse. We heard it all about what the disciples were doing and how they were being listened to, how they were teaching, what they were trying to do with people. But the last verse said, and the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. It was not the disciples who added to the number of believers. It was God. In other words, the disciples were involved in God's mission. This was not God blessing their mission. They were doing what God asked of them. Liam Fraser, in his talk to Presbytery, said that mission was necessary, mission was possible, but mission was not enough. And that last statement has been nagging away at me ever since. You see, there's all this talk in the church, and I think in some places we've got weary of it. So much talk about presbytery mission plans, the five marks of mission, the necessity of mission, the need for us to be a church centred on mission, and then around all of that, the doom and gloom of church statistics. I've sometimes felt I've been walking around with an enormous weight on my back. Had I fallen into the trap of seeing mission as the be-all and end-all of church life? Is that what it's all about? Numbers and statistics and finance and buildings? What Liam had to say is that our purpose in mission is not the survival of the church. What we have in mission is to reach out with the gospel. There is the joy of living as God's people, and that's our purpose. A living and growing relationship with God. I was talking to one of my folks down at Limekilns, one of the elders down there, and he was saying he would have to think about what I'd been saying. And I said, yeah, we think of mission as this huge thing. But you know, my family went to church because my mum's next door neighbour said, "Do you fancy going to the kirk?" As they were hanging out the washing, as you did in those days. And I got to a place where I discussed and learned and worried away about what I believed and who I was. You know, those very strange years of teenage. I can still just about remember being a teenager. And the reason I went to that place was a couple of folks said, "You fancy going to the youth fellowship?" And I did. And one of the things that was said in that talk about mission was that very often those people involved in mission simply took people to where they would either meet with Jesus or hear about Jesus. That is mission. It's about saying, "We've got something great. Would you like a share?" And for a title today, there didn't seem to be, it was a verse that came back to me, and it's one of the best known in the whole of the New Testament, John 3:16. And it says, "For God so loved the world." That's where we start. "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life." It is the love of God that we share. It's God who loves us more than any other. It's God who wants us to be filled to overflowing with life. And that's not about dull and boring and "you're not allowed to do this." Somebody once said to me in passing, "You seem to laugh. Tell me, do you ever laugh in church?" And I said, "Frequently. And very often at me." We are to have life in all its fullness because God loves us absolutely. Amen. Our prayers for other people. Alistair.
So let us once more come before God in prayer. We thank you, Father, for your readiness to hear and to forgive, for your great love for us in spite of our unworthiness, for the many blessings we enjoy above our deserving, hoping or asking. So we bring you our prayers for our world, and we are shocked by the news of two maritime disasters this week. We think of the migrants on that grossly overloaded vessel in the Mediterranean. It's hard to comprehend the terror of those women and children trapped in the hold, and hard to comprehend the inaction of the Greek Coast Guard. We maybe pray for a seemingly impossible prayer, but we pray that conditions in their own countries would be such that they do not have to flee. And also we pray that the traffickers would be brought to justice. We also pray for your comfort for the families of those killed in that submersible as they sought to explore the Titanic. And there are many searching questions for the operators to answer regarding their neglect of safety. The situation in Ukraine still concerns us. We pray for those who have been affected by the flooding caused by that catastrophic damage to the Kakhovka Dam. May they get the help they need to restore some sense of normality to their lives. How long must this go on, Lord? The devastation, the death and destruction. For what purpose? So that Putin can say he rules a desolate wasteland? We pray, Father, that you would turn his heart around to you, or that you would remove him. We remember those who are caught up in the cost of living crisis, those who are facing huge mortgage increases, those in benefits driven into debt as they wait for their universal credit payments, and all those in between struggling to make ends meet. We pray for Dunfermline Food Bank that they would have sufficient resources to meet the growing demand, depending on those who have plenty donating foodstuffs to help those without. We pray about the proposed assisted suicide legislation expected to come before the Scottish Parliament later this year, remembering very vulnerable people who are fearful. Loving Father, please watch over anyone who is alone, uncared for, neglected or abused. Shine your light into their lives and send your saving grace and peace. Lord God and Heavenly Father, we are part of the worldwide fellowship of believers. And we lift before you our brothers and sisters in Eritrea, suffering repression and persecution for their faith in your Son. Draw near to those in prison, strengthening them as they face torture and abuse. Strengthen those who live with the constant reality that they too may be thrown into prison. So in the silence of this moment, we bring you our own personal prayers of those people in situations in need of your loving care at this time. So, Father, we ask these things in our Saviour's precious name. Amen.
So let's sing hymn 534, Make Me a Captive Lord.
Thank you.
And the blessing of God Almighty, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be with you and remain with you always.